are doing, gentlemen?
Good. How are you doing?
Great.
Doing really good. Doing really well. It's a little early in March. You know,
spring break around the corner, maybe coming to you a little bit earlier than we used to.
Right. So the data points actually get kind of easy because we always do the market update clearly. And one of the things is we don't have month-end data.
Right.
One of the reasons we're doing this early is spring breaks, things like that. So we just want to get a jump on things. But this is a really challenging time to be an investor.
Right.
And so it's important for you to tune in. Thanks for spending a little time. Hopefully we can give some clarity to what's going on out in the wonderful world of investing and what we're doing for our clients. So let's just kind of take an inventory check where the market's at almost all the way through March. So the S&P 500, we don't know where the month's going to end, but let's just say we're down about 2.4% right now for the month. Bonds have had a little challenging month as well. You know, they're down just shy of 1% roughly. So something to think about. It just means that portfolios have been having a tough month.
Yeah.
But is that unnatural, unnormal? No, it's part of the ride.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, you kind of talked about how it's a partial month as we're kind of, we'll say, examining it, right?
Yeah.
But within that month, it started out pretty volatile. And, you know, we got a few more days, so we'll see how we end up. But what were we doing to prepare the portfolio?
Yeah. So I've gotten a lot of feedback from clients reaching out, just wondering what's going on. One of the things that they've, you know, said on balance is, well, I can see you making moves,
right,
so I know you're watching, or I know you guys are watching. And I mean, that's great because we are. And our dedication and just commitment is, it's hard to even express with words. But one of the things that we recognized about the speed and velocity of this market pullback, it was a little bit unnatural, unnormal. I mean, certainly pullbacks are part of the ride,
part
of the, but it did warrant some of our triggers and to fire. And we did do a slight reduction on kind of the highest beta, which is the highest torqueiness of an investment in the portfolio. We reduced it marginally. What are we trying to do? We're just trying to buy a little time, because there's one thing about every market downturn that is consistent. They've all had recoveries to date. So again, it was just an acknowledgement of something a little bit off. It was a very minor tilt, and we will redeploy, you know, as things firm up. And, you know, actually today I'm starting to see a few things that are interesting.
Well, and that's why we're on it, right? We're always kind of taking a temperature, taking an inventory. And, you know, you kind of, we've talked in the last few pods, you know, that, not that we saw it coming, but, you know, February, March, maybe. And then I guess we thought we'd put a little context to that, right? And change of seasons in Michigan. And there's a little bit of a, you know, seasonality to what the markets do, or am I wrong?
Yeah. No. You're right on the money. Seasonality, and we get that here in the Midwest, because we do have the four seasons and what have you. But seasonality, you know, populates its way through all parts of life, in my opinion. Whether we're talking hurricane season for those who are tuning in from Florida, or, you know, I don't know, wildfire season for those out in California. Whatever it is, seasonality exists, and it's not spared in the world of investments. So we can, we talked about frequentism last time, right? It's this idea of exploring in history what has happened, and then kind of saying, like, well, historically relevant points, we probably should pay attention when we're looking out the, you know, the windshield as we go down the road. Seasonality is one of those things. So you look through past years at months and look at how the market has done in those months. And I oftentimes joke, if you guys told me, you know, nothing about the market for the year, but here's a calendar, the market has to pull back 10% one time. Where's it going to happen? Personally, I would point to February or October. And there's relevance to why I would point to those 2 months. So it's, I think when you look at the chances of volatility perpetuating the front end of this year, that, you know, it's very easy to point to that just from seasonality. So,
well, like you said, we started the you know, we just had the correction, okay? So seventh fastest correction in the last 70 years. So again, speaking to that, but you know, when you go to a doctor because you don't feel good, they kind of take a holistic approach when it comes to try to come up with a diagnosis to then, you know, give you something to start making you feel better.
Right.
Same kind of thing goes for the investments, right? Taking more of a holistic approach. We're talking a lot about equities, but you know, kind of checking the temperature on other asset classes like fixed income.
Right.
What are we seeing there as far as liquidity,
yeah,
spreads, yeah, things of that nature?
The stuff that doesn't make the media headlines.
Absolutely.
That's kind of it. Everybody wants to talk about the shock and awe of the, you know, you look at the Dow Jones Industrial, that's only 30 stocks. Like, you know, the S&P 500, maybe look at that. But I think that, again, we tend to be narrowly focused. Well, if we're going to diagnose a problem with the market, it's not just looking at the stock market, mm-hmm, and what's happened. So, Derek, you know, you bring up a very good way to kind of study this. It's like you go into the doctor and you got a headache. Well, it could be, you know, we go through and we diagnose things and we look. It's like drink some water, take some ibuprofen. But then same person, you know, not same person, but the same concept, headache, you go through the diagnosis and go, we've got something we got to worry about here. It's going to require a lot more treatment. So see, it was the same impetus for coming in and paying attention, but two very different outcomes here. Stock market, the scary market environments. I think that's what you're getting at, right?
Right, yep.
What would you need to be looking for to really see a market that probably can move ferociously lower? There's not, you're not just looking at the market. You're looking at a lot of different things. So for instance, you look at a market downturn, such as we're experiencing right now, one of the things that we want to look at is the credit markets. The credit markets will tell you a lot about liquidity and access to liquidity in the system. If that dries up, you've got problems because you've got a weak market, and then the credit tightening will just make it weaker, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things that you would do to understand where credit is at is analyze what do the highest quality borrowers have to pay to borrow money, and what do the lowest quality borrowers have to pay to borrow money. Lowest quality borrowers, they're going to pay more. Mm-hmm. Highest quality borrowers pay less. But what's the difference between the two, the delta, the spread? When spreads blow out, watch out. Liquidity is drying up. Really, the market then is going to have a hard time recapturing a bullish move, okay? Right. We're not seeing a lot of pressure right now in the credit world.
Right.
So that's a really good thing. And then, you know, we talk a lot about M2 money supply here. What is that again? M2 is going to be your savings accounts, your checking accounts, cash on hand. M3, there is an M3, and it keeps going. Ads like money markets. But M2 is really important to speak to global liquidity. We talk about M2 here in the United States a lot, but there's global M2 that we can watch as well. You're not seeing a huge walk back, mm-hmm, on M2 either. So, you know, all of these things kind of work towards a diagnosis. Now, Derek, you bring up a great point that this was one of the fastest market downturns we've seen in many, many years. That's one of the reasons we made that notch in portfolios, right, to just recognize that. But I think when you look at everything on balance, you know, even what corporate CEOs are saying right now, there haven't been these massive warnings. And like pulling guidance, corporate America gives us guidance for earnings into the next quarter. We've seen them say that we have a lack of clarity and an uncertainty, but they're not pulling guidance right now. So all of these things would allow us to remain confident in the portfolio setup. And if it changes, we adapt and we change.
And a lot of that's coming from tariff uncertainty, right? And obviously those are coming due here in a few days. So we'll see how those things play out and if guidance changes. But, yeah, you know, it kind of goes into that. Does Trump have a plan? You know, we've kind of heard him say, hey, look, I'm not really focused on the stock market necessarily, but more on interest rates. Mm-hmm. You know, why is that kind of the case that maybe Trump or Scott Bessent?
Right.
Why is there more of a focus there, in your opinion?
Yeah. I don't believe that Trump is not watching this stock. I don't buy that for a minute. But one way or the other, this is a very, very good topic because it builds on what we just talked about, you know, the diagnosis of what's going on here exactly. But then what's the plan? What's the plan going forward? That plan will kind of allow us to understand the bumps that could be coming along the way or some of the lifts that we could be seeing. So when you think about the Trump administration, you don't just listen to the president. What you've got to look at is the cabinet, you know, depending on what you're trying to explore. So when it comes to the capital markets and just the structure of fund flows and things like that, we would listen to Scott Bessent, Treasury Secretary, and Trump. And those two will kind of clear the path for future movements. So here's what I'm hearing. This is what I've been able to deduce from it. Mm-hmm. And I've shared with you guys, I think we're all on the same page here. Essentially, the Trump administration doesn't believe that this is their economy yet. So you go then say, well, when is it? When do you expect this to be your economy? Scott Bessent has kind of alluded to starting in June, this would be, you know, the Trump economy. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that on the front end of the year, they get to do some things to reset the deck and not have to own it, okay?
Right.
So what would the agenda items be? And I'm sorry if this drags on a little bit, but it's important,
right?
Right. So right. What are the agenda items? Get inflation under control. Get rates down. We've got a lot of debt that needs to be refinanced, not only from the government side of things, but also in corporate America. Mm-hmm. And also just with all of this, you're able to kind of get the markets to reset a bit. Healthy markets don't only go up. 10% pullbacks, we said in the last podcast, they are normal. They're reasonable. So if you can get all this stuff on somebody else's scorecard, not a bad deal. And then when you're on the clock, you can start doing some things. So anyway, what does that look like? Well, how about create uncertainty? That'll kind of bring asset prices down. That'll give some uncertainty throughout the macroeconomic environment. That then would bring interest rates down because inflation expectations would kind of come in. And risk assets don't really like it. So then the market comes down. And what you were doing was talking a lot about tariffs, which, guess what? They can be removed. So, and they don't cost the taxpayer a whole lot. So come the second half of the year, it wouldn't surprise me to start seeing some of these tariffs getting relaxed. And, you know, you would have had an opportunity for some refinancing to be done on the front end with maybe rates a little bit more relaxed. And you get a couple nice inflation reads that are more towards the Fed's target. It all sets up to, kind of a well thought out plan.
Yeah.
So perhaps that's what's playing out. You got to study every data point. And my goodness, nowadays, you don't need a master's degree in finance to understand. You got to watch tweets. So getting back to kind of, we knew this in his first term. So that's what's happening.
Yeah. And speaking of rates, you know, a lot of clients of ours, you know, other people all over, CD rates have been, you know, really nice, 5 to 5.5%, somewhere in that range. A lot of those CDs are maturing here, coming up soon. And so, you know, some of the other short-term CD rates now are very similar to what the yield is on a money market. You know, so as far as like the, you know, what's your, you know, opportunity there? Do you want more liquidity given that rates are very similar? Or do you look at maybe locking that money up for another period of time?
Me personally, I think there's opportunities out there that you want to stay a little bit liquid for, but I don't know. Yep. What are you doing with clients?
Well, no, I mean, like we've talked about, you know, you talked about the government kind of financing themselves. I mean, even our clients, they had 18-month CDs, they're coming due. Well, now if you evaluate the rate world, do I stay liquid and get the same rate that I would get if I locked it up for 18 months?
Right.
Well, we'd say, don't let someone else earn the money because they get to lock up your money. Maybe consider money market and then other opportunities that would then lead. So make sure you talk to your advisor about the rates and money markets versus those short-term CDs.
Right.
And even through that water cooler talk, we've kind of talked about if we do see this pullback in the market, depending on risk tolerance and everybody's unique situation, you know, we've talked about maybe putting some of that money back to work at better price points.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, let's say then, Ryan, that someone does bring money over to a money market. Well, that's probably not in an IRA all the time.
Yeah.
So what do we do? Can we even be, are we just going to get taxed? You know what?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's how timely. I mean, many of you probably, if you've not dropped your stuff off to your tax preparers, you better get to it. And most of you probably have already, filed your return and what have you. So taxes are on your mind. Well, remember, when you've got an IRA, Roth, traditional, those are tax shelters. You're not getting any tax drag until you would take something out and who knows, like in a Roth, it's probably not taxable, traditional IRA taxable. But that's not the only way we can play the game. Play the game at the highest level with a non-IRA account. But to reach the highest level with your advisor, they have to understand that that's going to be have a different tax situation year to year. Non-IRA accounts don't have this tax shelter right. around them. And one of the issues you can run into is called tax drag. You know, you can have all the success in the world, but then you sell it too early and, you know, maybe you had a short-term capital gain or something. Yeah. You're giving up a lot of the production there just because of kind of not efficient tax planning strategy. So with non-IRA money, make sure that whomever you're working with is deploying those dollars in a very tax efficient and friendly manner that serves your needs and your goals. It's great, great.
Well, I think that's something that we do look at, right?
Yeah.
Tax loss harvesting, you've probably heard of those things. That's something that, you know, I know that we take very seriously and are constantly looking at as far as buying, holding, or selling or exchanging. Yeah. You know, to again not have as big of a tax drag. So,
yeah. Or an ETF yeah. over a mutual fund. A mutual right. fund is forced to distribute capital gains and movement within the fund. I mean, there's a lot to it. So, you know, definitely have the conversation.
So as we look ahead, you know, like we mentioned, this is kind of like the end of March or a little earlier than we normally do a pod. But as we kind of look into April, you know, what are we seeing? Are we going to see rates move? You know, I know we can't tell the future, but we all have a crystal ball.
So yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
it's a snow globe. Maybe it's right? a crystal
yeah,
ball.
Yeah, still.
That's what it is. It's a hazy snow globe. Right. But anyway, so I will say this. Before I came in to have this discussion with you all, I was just looking at the bullish, bearish sentiment readings. We're setting records for the number of bears out there. And you know, who knows? It could even get more bearish. And I mean, things can set more records. But it seems like the minute that everybody feels that it's one thing, it switches back, you know, it kind of goes the opposite way. So be careful when you submit to just like economic devastation, markets collapsing. I think that there are some things that we should pay attention here to, that we can build on constructively. Doesn't mean that we can't take worst cases off the table. But I feel like we're coming out of that seasonal period that's often weak. We're coming out of it with a lot of negativity. I think we're getting to the light at the end of the tunnel where maybe the administration, the Trump administration, could loosen their grip a little bit on the economic data points. So, you know, I think we can continue to remain optimistic. And so it's not going to be easy. This probably isn't a V-shaped bounce, but I think we can grind it out.
All right. Well, hey, we'll be here for it and we'll see everybody in a month.
Thanks
for joining us.
Thanks.
Advance Capital Management Incorporated is a registered investment advisor. Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up to date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy and it should not be regarded as complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Tax and estate planning information should not be construed as formal legal or tax advice. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Thank you, and we look forward to seeing you next month.